Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Right around the middle of your Bible, I believe we will start something tonight that will probably go a few messages. This will be the introduction, and then we'll probably have a few more. Proverbs chapter 4. I'll read a few verses, one of which will be very familiar to you, most likely. Go down there to verse 20. This will set the tone for where we are going, and then we will go back to Genesis and make our way through several verses in order through the Scriptures. But we'll start here in Proverbs 4. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they," talking about God's words, "they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I'd really like to focus there on verse 23, but let's back up. Notice verse 20, it mentions the ear. Verse 21 mentions the eyes. The heart appears in verse 21. And I'd really like to talk about that last one, the heart. But what comes into your ears and into your eyes will most certainly affect your heart, correct? So, before I dig into this, when you hear the word heart, and I'm not searching for a specific answer, I really would just like to know, what is it that comes to mind first when you think of the heart? In any sense, because there's a few definitions. Hearts. Audience participation. What do you say? Seat of emotions. That's a good start. We have somebody in the medical field here, so let's see what he has to say. What again? The heart muscle. I'm glad you said that. I have a few things about that tonight. Yes, thank you for both of those. I was searching for some answers and you nailed it. Any other definitions or ideas that come to mind when you think of the heart? Yes. A hard heart. That is a condition of a heart. I believe down the road, maybe next week, in the coming weeks, I'll actually take different types of hearts. That will be one that we will most definitely cover because it's important to identify. Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to hit that at the end of the message, yes. Heart salvation, heart knowledge, not just head knowledge. Very good. You guys are hitting the bullseye repeatedly. Miley. Okay, I'm glad you said that because the symbol of a heart, here we go. Or like the kids do now. Make sure I do this right, yeah. Love. So, I got to tell you a funny story since you brought it up. I'm driving our softball girls to a game the other day. We're trapped on I-4. What a miserable place to be on a Friday afternoon, especially. One of the worst places you could be on earth, I think. And the traffic is very, very slow, stop and go. And lo and behold, a bus full of baseball boys drives by. Wow, what a coincidence. And our girls get up against the window and they're going like this. And of course, they were waiting for them to give this back. And they did. Now, the funny thing about this, who could have guessed this? We were an hour away from our destination when that happened. We're playing softball at the same place, the same school that other team's playing baseball. Can you believe that? They got quite a kick out of that. But, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because we associate love with the heart. What else? Anything else? Yes. The heart and the mind are in tandem, I would say. Yes. Not the same, but in tandem. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. That's on the notes here. I'll just go ahead and tell you Hebrews 4:12 if you don't know the verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. So there's some spiritual and some physical mentioned in that verse. And then it says this, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So one thing you know from that verse is whatever you think and whatever you intend to do originates where? In the heart. Now look at our verse here. You guys did a great job. It covered so many different things. That's awesome. Look at the verse here. Notice what comes out of the heart. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are what? The issues of life. Now let me ask you a question you probably shouldn't answer out loud. Do you have issues? We all have issues. Guess what our issues are matters of? They are matters of... Oh, ouch. Don't point to the person next to you, somebody. Your issues are not anything other than matters of the heart. Now, it could have to do with another person, but they are matters of the heart. So, real quick, since Zane brought it up, I have to say some things being a biology teacher. And if nobody else appreciates it, Zane will. The heart is an incredible pump. It's the world's most efficient pump by far. On a daily basis, it beats 100,000 times. And you don't have to think about it beating for it to do that. It does it on its own. It continuously pumps about 8 pints of blood all around your body through a network of blood vessels. And the blood that the heart pumps delivers oxygen and nutrients all over your body. It keeps your organs and muscles working properly. And also carries away unwanted products such as carbon dioxide and waste so that your body can eliminate them. Blood and the heart are fascinating to study. And isn't that interesting, those two things? The heart is mentioned repeatedly in the Bible, and I have yet to find a mention in the Bible that in its context is specifically referring to the pump right here. The mentions of the heart in your Bible are not about the pump here. But the Lord knew that we would have some knowledge of this and that we would know how important this pump is, so that when He mentions the heart and it's not the pump, we would say we better tune in, because that is very important as to who we really are. Maybe you've heard something like this. They played the game with all their hearts. Or maybe you heard something like this. That man was heartless in what he said. Or maybe you have said, my heart is not in this particular action that I'm taking right now. Or, how about this one, a favorite of preachers. Get your heart right with God. Which is a good thing to say and be reminded of from time to time. So, some scriptures about the heart. You know how we normally do this. We like to look at the first time a verse mentions the word heart. So, let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. While you're turning over there, guess. So you only get one guess on this one. Guess what the leading cause of death is in the United States. Heart disease. Problems with the heart. Now, I'm kind of fast-forwarding here when I say this, but the reason why people have heart trouble, and I'm talking about physical heart trouble, is because of two things. Your heart health is affected by what you intake, your food, and your activity level, what you output. So whenever you do exercise, whenever you move around and have activity, that burns energy, which is good. Keeps your heart healthy and strong. And what you put into your heart also ends up in the bloodstream and can certainly affect your heart. So kind of keep that in mind as we go. What I'll do is I'll go through this verse. And I did this kind of weird. I always have 3 points, or at least I do most of the time. I'll give you the 3 points, but I'm going to go through the verses, and if you write the 3 points down, then you can write the verses under which point they belong. So let's read first, and then I will tell you the direction we're going. So Genesis 6:5, first mention of heart. This is in the days of the giants, back there in verse 4. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I believe God purposely placed the first mention of heart in a verse to describe the human hearts. Several things in that one verse. That's a packed verse with information. It says imagination. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. So you get right off the bat. Every imagination, and by the way, if you study imaginations in your Bible, you study that word imagination, it is no good. Man's imaginations are no good. I don't know if you can find a single verse where an imagination is something good. They're negative, negative, negative over and over. Imaginations have their origin in the heart, according to that verse. Zane brought it up from Hebrews 4, and it's also in that verse. What else originates in the heart? It is not just imaginations, but, you see it? Thoughts. Thoughts originate in the heart. So, let me define, I should have done this before, but let me define the heart in the biblical sense. People say that the heart is the center or innermost part of something. So if you want to say the innermost part of who you are, that's your heart. That's true, but let's get a little more specific. I would like to define the heart as it's used in the Bible as follows. The real you. The real you is your heart. Or who you truly are within. By the way, you can fake who you really are at church, can't you? I mean, think about it. Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning, 4 hours a week, maybe a little more than that if the preacher goes long. Are we going to find out who you really are in 4 hours a week? Can you fool people in 4 hours a week? Yeah, unfortunately, I've seen preachers in pulpits 4 hours a week fool a whole multitude of people in the congregation. So the real you will come out as you go throughout your day, and in a 24-hour period, the real you's coming out, isn't it? So follow me around for 24 hours, you'll get a real good idea of who I really am. Follow you around for 24 hours, see the same. I'll tell you something else that reveals the real you. The real you comes out, somebody in the back there said it, yeah. The real you comes out whenever you open your mouth. We may not have time to get to the verse in the New Testament, Mark 12, I believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And more about that here in a minute. But I think it's interesting. Look at that verse. The first time the word heart is mentioned, is it positive or negative in regards to the heart of man? It's as negative as you can get. Notice it says the thoughts, the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice the three words there. The Lord could have said the imagination, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil. But he actually put two words around evil to make it even more evil. Only evil. And how often? Continually. All the time. You are born into this world. I was born into this world with heart trouble. I'm not talking about the pump in your chest. We're talking about who you really are. There's a problem with who you are. You were born into this world with a messed up, misconstrued idea of who you are. Because as a child, now it may not be the case with parents today, but I know a lot of parents in the past and some today, they basically tell their kids how great they are, right? Even if a parent doesn't tell a kid how great they are, the kid thinks he's great. Isn't that right? The kid thinks he's something without anybody telling him one way or the other. The parent saying he is something and pumping him up makes it worse, but a kid thinks he's something. That's a condition of the heart because we think we're fine, don't we? Every time we have church on Wednesday night, somebody comes up who's not saved that we pray for. There's a couple were mentioned tonight. And the problem with unsaved people is, and Zane mentioned it here tonight, they think, I'm okay. I'm fine because I'm pretty good. And that is the condition of their heart. Now, they are misled. They are not really being honest about what's inside of them. Because if you were to cut any of us open and look at the heart has a natural tendency in its unsaved state to run to evil and run towards sin, correct? Unsaved man will run towards sin and away from God. Now, a saved person, the heart, should be running away from sin and towards the Lord. Notice in the next verse, you're in Genesis 6 still, notice that there's something about God's heart in the next verse, which is really neat. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Isn't that something? Verse 5, first mention, tells you about man's heart. Verse 6, second mention, tells you about the heart of God. You get a glimpse into what God's heart is all about in verse 6. Is God happy that man has gone astray? God is greatly grieved. I mean, God made man. God wanted man to seek him. But man goes astray and God is greatly grieved. Do you think God looks down here today and he's grieved at the direction that man is going? I guarantee you he is. If he's doing it back here in the days of the giants, and as the days of Noah, it will be the same in the days before Jesus Christ returns. He looks and sees the same thing today. So man's heart contrasts with God's heart in those two verses. I thought that was pretty neat. So what I'm going to do here is give you the 3 points, and then you can put the verses underneath each point. So I'm going to give you three things. The first thing is the condition of man's heart. That's number one. God's observation of man's heart. That's number two. And then number three, the solution, which is God's solution to man's heart problems. So the condition of man's heart, God's observation of man's heart, and then the solution, God's solution to man's heart trouble. So let's go to Genesis 8, just a few pages over. A lot of these here to start, or at least the first couple are going to be in Genesis. There's a bunch in Genesis I chose not to look at tonight, but we'll probably look at in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. Go to Genesis 8:20. This one will line up with our first point, the condition of man's heart. 8:20. It says, "And Noah, building an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." I told you wrong. This is actually God's observation, God's heart right here, verse 21. "The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart," that's the Lord's heart, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done." Okay, so you get a couple things there. In verse 21, you get God's observation of man's heart, and you also get a little bit about the condition of man's heart from God's perspective. So notice right off the bat, Noah builds an altar in verse 20, and you want to take note of this. Who does he build the altar to? Make sure you see that. Noah builds an altar unto the Lord. This is after the flood. And he offers burnt offerings on the altar. As a result of that, God smells the savor. It smells good to him. It smells sweet. And then notice something here in 21. It says, "The Lord said," where? In his heart. I think that's neat. It does not say that God spoke this out loud. Can you actually devise things in your heart, not say them out loud, but then your actions are a result of whatever you have said in your heart? Doesn't that happen? By the way, sometimes it's better when you say something in your heart not to say it out loud. Amen to that? So I'll say more about that in a second. But I think that's neat. God recorded what was in his heart right here, yet he never spoke it out loud, indicating when you open the Bible, you are truly reading the very heart of Almighty God. It doesn't say that God spoke these words out loud. It said he said them in his heart. So you really get a glimpse. You talk about going deep. You get into the heart of Almighty God when you open up the Scriptures. That's really neat, especially that verse right there. So then, going on in verse 21, you get another account of man's heart, which lines up with Genesis 6. The Lord says, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." So you get a little bit of both. You get the condition of man's heart from that verse. You get God's observation of man's heart. So I would like to say this before we move on. I'm so glad God is interested in the condition of our hearts, even if they're not in good condition. Because his intent, and we'll get to this at the end of the message, his intent is that man's heart will get right with him. God's intention is that man's heart will get right with God. And I'll show you how he does that here in a minute, or how man does that, the way that God set it up. Go to Genesis 17. Genesis 17, I've got to hustle here. 17. This is a neat one here. This is God having a conversation with Abram. This is a really neat one to study when it comes to intents of the heart. Look at 17:15. 17:15. Isaac has yet to be born. Ishmael has been born. So look at verse 15. "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give her thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said," where? In his heart. Okay, before I read, it doesn't tell you he said it out loud. But what does the Bible record? The thoughts and intents, in this case, of Abraham's heart. Hebrews 4, God's Word. Every time you open it, God takes that sword of His Word, that two-edged sword of His Word, and He says, what's inside there? I'm talking about on a personal basis. When you open the Scriptures, you are saying, God, I'm opening up my heart so that you can tell me what's wrong. Because you better believe, we always need adjustments to make. We always have adjustments to need to be made. And God will show those to you as you open up the Scriptures. So, verse 17, he laughed and said in his heart, let's keep going. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? What kind of heart do you see there with Abraham? An unbelieving heart. God just told him that Sarah was going to have a son, even though he and Sarah are old. And he laughed in his heart and is doubting. So an unbelief, a heart of unbelief, or a doubtful heart. Now, if you go on here, look at verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I find that interesting. 17, you are told what he says in his heart, but he didn't say the same thing out loud that he said in his heart. You notice that? So sometimes we say something different from what is in our hearts for the purpose of covering up our true intentions. Because do you think that Abraham was going to say out loud, sarcastically, as he says here in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Was he going to say that to the Lord out loud? No. He knew that that would not be appropriate. So he covers up the intention of his heart, but not completely. He says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. So instead of saying, Lord, I don't believe you, he says, well, you're going to bless Ishmael, right? And that was not God's plan. So I say that because Abraham's idea was, I will not say what's in my heart. I will say something different so I don't reveal what's truly in my heart. And I actually look good saying this, or look better saying this. But lo and behold, God in His infinite wisdom, guess what God did? God recorded the intents and what the thoughts of Abraham's heart was, and we're reading about it tonight. Isn't that something? Abraham thought he had it covered up, and he didn't quite have it covered up very well. So I find that really neat, really interesting there. Verse 19, the Lord responds, and he says, he sets Abraham straight. He says, Sarah's going to be the one that will have the child that I will establish my covenant with. So go over to Proverbs 16. A couple of Proverbs, and we'll wrap up in the New Testament here. Proverbs 16. This actually lines up with the third point, the solution to man's heart problem. Proverbs 16:23. This is only part of the solution. 16:23, it says, the heart of the wise teacheth what? His mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. I find that interesting. The heart of the wise teaches the mouth what to say. And that's why I mentioned earlier, there are times when you think things and you had better not say them out loud. You better reconsider what your thoughts are before they come right out. Now, I get to work with children, mainly teenagers, middle school and high schoolers, and it is the funniest thing because they have no filter. They will say whatever is in their heart, won't they? Am I right, Miley? They just say it. They rarely think about it. Now, on one hand, you can say, well, that's a terrible thing because sometimes you're hearing bad things. I will actually give them credit. They're actually revealing what's in there instead of trying to cover up something and lie. And if they actually say something, even if it is not necessarily appropriate or right, you can address it and get to the root of the problem, which the root of the problem is their hearts. So I am actually thankful at times when kids say certain things that just, they spill their beans on what is really going on inside, because then we can deal with the problem. See, here's what happens with adults. Kids learn this at certain age, but adults are really bad about this. We have something in our heart. We know it's wrong, and we're not about to say it, so we say something completely different, and it's a lie. It's not even true. So now you got some problems because you're trying to cover up something that's in your heart. Now, there's other situations where you think things in your heart and you don't say them because you're wise. That's what the verse is talking about. But there's other times where You think something in your heart and you tell a bold-faced lie to cover up the way you're thinking. And you know what one lie leads to? What does it lead to? Another one, and you got yourself in a mess. So back to the verse here. A wise person will have a heart that will think before the mouth speaks. So there's a wired connection, if you haven't noticed here, in your body, I say in your soul, really, between your heart and your mouth. And you just can't get around that. Sooner or later, what comes out of your mouth will reveal what's in your heart. I say that teenagers often say it. Us adults, even in our wisdom, sooner or later it's coming out, isn't it? It may only be to your best friend or your closest friend or your closest acquaintance, but sooner or later, the way that you really feel about something will come out. You ever seen these politicians? They have, if they're really out to get a politician, they got them recorded somewhere along the line over the last 20 years. And somebody was in a conversation with them, and they revealed exactly what they were thinking. I don't know if you remember the whole O.J. Simpson trial. That whole thing took a big turn because of what a cop had said many years earlier on tape. He had no idea, probably, that this would come out, and his heart would be out there for the whole world to see. But he said some things that did not look very good on him, didn't look good at all. And it really turned the tide in the case, which is another story. But I just say that because the mouth will reveal what's truly in the heart sooner or later. Okay, go over to Proverbs 21. Look at this. This is neat. Going back to God's observation of the heart. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Isn't that the truth? Nobody ever wants to admit they're wrong because everybody's always right. But look what the rest of the verse says. But the Lord pondereth the heart. So anytime you say, I am right about any issue, you are revealing your heartfelt feelings about the matter. And I know people can lie, but repeatedly, if you're saying the same thing over, you're probably revealing the truth within your heart. But I think that's neat. Man always thinks he's right because his heart is twisted and wicked. But what does God have his focus on? What does God look at down here? He doesn't look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Yeah, man looks on the outward appearance. That's over in 1 Samuel 17. God looks on the heart. Okay, and he ponders the heart. Now go over to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Then we'll get to the New Testament to wrap up. Proverbs 28. Look at verse 26. It goes along with the one we just read. 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart, what is he? Now, how many people do you know that they are living their life trusting in their own heart and that's it? You thought of a name just now, didn't you? Or several names, maybe. What's that? A lot of doctors. So that's interesting you say that. Other people would say politicians. Other people would say even preachers, unfortunately, right? So the verse says, he that trusteth in his own heart. Hey, you all and I need to be wise enough to say, my heart in its natural state will lead me far from God. I cannot trust myself. God, lead me. God, guide me. Because if I do what's in my heart, it will lead me astray. We got to be honest with ourselves to say that. All right, somebody said something back there about somebody else? Other group of people? Yeah, there's one of many. Yeah, we could probably throw some names out there, yes. How about, I won't go there, but Jeremiah 17:9, you can write that reference down on the condition of man's heart. The heart of man is, anybody know that verse? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's that bad. That's the heart of man. Now go to Mark chapter 7. That verse goes along with the one I want to look at here. And don't worry, we'll end up on a positive note with a solution here. God's solution. But Mark chapter 7, just to show you. And I know that I'm in a crowd of probably all saved people, but we all got to be reminded of what we're capable of away from the Lord, where our heart wants to lead us. Matthew, did I say Mark? Okay, good. Mark 7:21. Mark 7:21. For from within, out of the heart of men, And watch what all the things that come out of the heart proceed. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? Within, specifically 21, for from within, out of the heart of men. Back to 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Hey, we got problems, don't we? And what kind of problems we got? We got heart problems. I don't care if you are the healthiest person in the room with what you eat and the exercise you do. You are in danger of heart trouble spiritually. So what do we do about that? Here we go. Romans 10. And I can already see this is opening some doors for a few messages to come. This has really taken off in some different directions, at least in my mind. So we'll see where this takes us in the weeks ahead. But go to Romans 10. We'll end up here. And this is the solution. This is God's solution to man's heart problems. Romans 10:9. That's if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe where? Notice the connection between the mouth and the heart. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, verse 10 is very telling when it comes to the heart. For with the heart, what does man do? Notice that right there. Belief has its origin in the heart. So you better make sure your beliefs are true. Beliefs have their origin in the human heart. Don't you know people who they, with all of their heart, believe a certain thing that you know to be completely wrong? Think about the cult members that you know of, people that are chasing false doctrine. They believe with, I believe, I've talked to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses over the years. They seem to be the oftentimes the most sincere. In their heart, they believe in the heart they're right. And it takes God's word to pierce the heart to show them an honest assessment of God's word from the heart to show them that they are wrong. Here's what's interesting. If you ever witness to those folks and you showed them what the scriptures say about their false doctrine, they come to a crossroads. And they are faced with, and it's really interesting to watch this play. It's actually, if you're talking to the person, it's very grieving to watch. Because here they are on one side. I've been taught this all my life. How could I be wrong? This person has shown me from the Bible what I've learned all my life is wrong. You see the dilemma that they're faced with? And there have been a couple times where I've witnessed these folks show them from the Bible and you can see the wheels turning. And the inclination is to say, man's heart is wicked, right? The inclination is to say, I can't be wrong. There's no way I was wrong. But here's what we all have to come to grips with. Our heart, on its own, is going to be wrong. Our heart, directed and led by God, will lead us into truth. So you better make sure your heart is in tune with God's Word. Amen? Got to get it in tune with God's Word. So the heart, I notice from verse 10, the heart is the seat of belief. So what you believe will determine your behavior. And your behavior has all to do with how you talk, what comes out of your mouth, and how you act. It all begins with what's in your heart. So, we'll leave you with this. I started off with a healthy physical heart has to do with intake and outtake, right? So, a healthy spiritual heart, guess what it has to do with as well? What you put in there. So give me some things. What should you put into your heart on a daily basis? Thy word have I hid where? In my heart. Why? Might not sin against thee. A word without God, a heart without God's word will sin. A heart that has God's word, full of God's word, is going to run away from sin. You have a problem with sin? Here's a good solution. Here's the Bible solution. Hide God's Word in your heart. Ask the Lord to help you with it. Hide God's Word in your heart. What else? What else can you do to intake? Spiritual heart condition. Intake. Yeah. Prayer. Now, there's a connection between the heart and the mouth. You're from within communing with Almighty God. It's coming from in here, but where's it coming out of? Your mouth. Isn't it always a sweet time whenever you get to get a couple people, three people here, and just pray? I'm going to be honest with you. My heart says, oh, prayer meeting. And then we sit down to pray, and we get into it, and I say, yes, prayer meeting is so refreshing. But when I oftentimes pulling in the parking lot, coming in, your heart says, hey, you know what? The heart sometimes, I open the Bible and the heart says, really? Do it anyway. And here's what finds out. A lot of times, here's what stops most people. It is the start. The starting of Bible reading. The starting of prayer that stops most people. If you'll just get engaged and started, the Lord will usually take over. But if you just stick with that evil heart of, no, I'm not going there. No, I'm not going to talk to the Lord. You're never going to get close to the Lord. And your heart's going to continually spin one way, another way, and you'll be tossed about with every wind and doctrine. So get your heart right with God. Make sure your heart is trusting the Lord. Make sure you have God's Word hid in your heart. And remember, the heart is where you believe. The heart is the seat of belief. So I believe next week we'll continue here. I got through everything tonight, so thanks for hanging in there extra. I got through everything here tonight. Next week, I think what we'll do is go through different conditions of the heart and then look at God's solution, because you already mentioned you got hard hearts. You got grieving hearts. There's all kinds of different hearts in your Bible, so we'll take a look at that. By the way, I want to say this. It said in that verse, God's heart was grieved. Is God emotional? Does God have emotions? Absolutely does. Do you have emotions? I'll just leave you with this. Emotions are wonderful things, but they are terrible leaders. Don't be led by your emotions. Been there, done that, no fun. Got in trouble. Emotions are beautiful things that indicate the condition of your heart, but don't let them be your leaders. Let God's Word, let God lead your hearts rather than your... Think about your emotions. This morning, I was very anxious about some things. Now, tonight, I'm not. Thank the Lord. You spend some time in church around God's people praying in your Bible. It's not there. In fact, it's been gone for quite some time. This afternoon, it disappeared. I was very anxious this morning, though. That was the emotion present. If I let that thing lead me, I'd have gone home and gone to bed. I'm very anxious today. Oh, no. Don't let your emotions lead you. Let God lead you. And if you follow your heart, you're going down the wrong direction. Let God lead your heart towards Him. Does that make sense? Just had to throw that in there because I know emotions can get real sticky and they're good. Just don't follow them wholeheartedly because they can lead you down a bad road. You ever make a bad decision? I'm sorry, you ever make a good decision when you're really, really angry? I don't think I ever made a good decision when I was really angry. I made many bad decisions angry, though. So I just leave you with that. Emotions come from the heart, but be careful about letting those things lead you, all right? Okay, Lord, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for showing us truth that we need. I pray that here in the weeks ahead that we would glean great truth about ourselves. And may we identify conditions of our own heart that you want to deal with on an individual basis. I pray that you would really move on us. We'd allow you to, and we would consider what we say and consider the source of what the things that are from within, where they come from, why we're thinking a certain way, why we're wanting to say certain things. And may we have the right input in the days ahead so that we actually have the right output as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.